Let's go, James.
2025, American Gas Association Operations Conference. And biennial exhibition and spring committee meetings.
Got it.
Gentlemen.
Did it.
In Aurora, Colorado.
Is there an abbreviation for that?
It's the, of course there is. It's the OCBESCM.
Or how about we just say on AGA 2025,
LinkedIn,
the big event.
It's hashtag AGA Ops 25.
That's right.
It's the big event. Three football fields. We are in the midst of the exhibit hall.
We are.
Three football fields, folks.
We are. And we sit on the OESA committee, so we get kind of behind the scenes of this show as the year goes on. And it was very intentional this year to make attractions, if you will, in different areas that drew people further into the hall. Let's just be honest. A lot of people just make it into the gut of the hall, and then they kind of bail out, right? So how do you get people further out? And one of those things is the beer garden. And
which we are in the midst of.
Studio. So we are, hopefully we'll get a lot of people here because people like beer. It's just.
Well, some do. Yeah. Some don't.
And some don't. Please, Mr. Senator.
No.
What happened last
Mr.
night?
Zero
we
proof.
Had the first ever in partnership with the AGA zero proof reception. Which, go ahead.
Sponsored by
Heath Consultants.
Yeah.
Which Heath did a wonderful job. We had wonderful mocktails. We had,
it was
when they
really
say
cool.
Bites, we're not talking just like cheese and crackers. We're talking from shrimp to meatballs. I mean, all over. It was first class and it was great. And I tell you, I was in a meeting this morning with the AGA and they said that there are, well, there's rumors that that zero proof might be rolled out to the spring and fall events also going forward.
Very cool. Very cool to see it all.
Over 250
come to life.
People.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It felt like that. Really good.
That was
good.
Wonderful. They were counting because they do scan the badges, so they got a good count. Over 250 people. So kudos to everybody that supported us last night. It was overwhelming. Actually, I was choked up a few times.
Same.
I thought you were well received.
When you spoke, tears went down my cheek. Like,
yeah,
it was a moment. It was really cool.
So it was wonderful.
I was just going to say, we are like
hours,
less than an hour and a half away from the big preview lunch where this place will be buzzing.
For sure. It is a moment when they open the hall. And so they do a preview lunch for those that don't know on the last committee day, if you will. And then later tonight will be the reception, the kickoff reception, and this place will be packed for sure. So we're going to be here all week. Special guests from the AGA, bringing it live from the longest conference name on earth, the 2025 American Gas Association Operations Conference and Biennial Exhibition and Spring Committee Meetings.
Thank you.
Y'all did that really well.
Hashtag AGA Ops 25. Yeah. Hey, we hope you'll follow along with us.
Yeah.
It's a Sometimes Ashley event. We're back in action.
We are.
The team is back for the first time in 2025. We'll be back. Karen. Karen, thanks for the invite back.
Thank you.
Every year it blows me away, or every other year, I guess, for the exhibit part. But every time I'm blown away by how many people and the quality of people. And then getting the invite back, like, you know, it means one thing once.
Humbly.
Twice. We don't know now what to think, you know, but we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
We got
us.
Big things in store for you guys. Two of my favorite people. Thanks for having me back.
Wow.
Wow. I feel like we're on your show, you know?
Yeah, and look at this amazing booth, right?
Oh, my goodness.
It really is nice. We're right here in the beer garden. We're bringing people back. This thing is how many? Three football fields? Is that correct?
Can you believe it? So this year, I mean, just to put some idea of scale into this, you know, the amount of time it takes to walk from one end to the other, people like get tired. So we actually have a train.
Yeah,
you can hop on the train and circle around.
It's a Manson on the back of the train. Yeah.
Somebody might have rode the train yesterday.
Did you?
I did, waving at folks.
That was on my list of videos.
I had such a fun time, you know, and it was great.
Karen, we saw each other and we were taking a test on a robot.
Yeah.
I mean, right.
You've got this robot that looks like R2-D2 cruising around, and you can do a quiz. You can take their photo with, we're calling it, you know, well, we're naming it in honor of Kimberly Dimbo, but it's the Kimbot.
Oh, I love it.
Shout out Kimberly.
Yes. But it's a smart little cookie.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep. And it, if you get lost in there, it'll come up and say, where are you trying to go? And it'll tell you how to get there.
That's how he met it.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm not, but it's true.
That's go out
true.
The front door and keep going for a couple of miles. Yep.
That's what I did. But, yeah. It was wonderful, though.
We have so much innovation in this hall. We were talking about it a little bit earlier.
Absolutely.
You know, we came back from the pandemic and we saw so much innovation really that spurred out of that. But then even we were talking about 2 years ago to now to see this hall, it's not just dog and pony shows out there. I mean, there are amazing things happening in our industry right now. You've got to be proud.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just, these are entrepreneurs at their finest, right? I mean, they don't innovate once a year. They're innovating every day of every year.
It's the showcase.
It's a glimpse into all the things that our utilities have access to. And it's really wonderful to actually see our members being able to connect with the technologies that they have invested in or are already deploying, and for them to tell back to the vendors how successful they're being. It's so nice to see the camaraderie. Yeah. Everybody wants to be successful, right? And so the vendors that are here, the exhibitors that are here, are helping our utilities keep our community safe, our customers safe, but at the same time, improving efficiency, lowering emissions, and making industry better every day.
You know, interesting. Let me foot stomp that a little bit. Some of the staff here at the Gaylord, I was talking to them yesterday, and they were like, "You all are so friendly," meaning our industry. They were like, you all get along. I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Sometimes we have conferences that come in that are very, you know, people are very like walls up. You don't talk to this person." And they're like, "You guys just all get along." And I said, "That really embraces our industry."
That is right.
And I'll take it one step further, sitting on a committee myself. When I look at that committee and we have vendors, contractors, operators all together, and then, you know, talking about solutions to make our industry better. And then I see them out here on the floor also collaborating with the equipment. It's like a full circle moment, Karen.
It's life cycle.
Yes, absolutely. And I tell you, it's heralded all over here, each and every moment, say.
Well, I mean, the week starts with committee meetings.
Yep.
So there is, it's not forced family fun. It's family fun.
Yeah.
And then you move into the exhibit, and then we have the separate conference where we have over 100 sessions.
Yeah.
So if you can't find something for you, I don't know what to tell you.
But we've got
8 tracks. You can stay in one track. You can change tracks. And we've added tracks this year based on feedback we got last year. So we're at an all-time high in terms of attendance. We've sold out this exhibit hall. I don't know where we can go next, right? Yeah. There's not a lot of places.
So there's no place to expand
no,
here. This
no.
is it.
We actually slimmed down the beer garden so we could fit in a few more exhibitors that were on the wait list. And I think that served them well and us well. So it's exciting. And look, I mean, we've got trucks. I'm looking out right here on the floor, right? I mean, it's just, it's so cool.
Yeah.
It is.
It's inspiring, I will say that.
It is absolutely inspiring.
You were mentioning earlier just, you know, seeing all the collaboration and everything. I will say one thing, being a vendor ourselves at EWN, I would say the partnership side of it's neat too. That I think is because there's so much innovation and people are thinking outside of their own box, right? That we're seeing so many partnerships, conversations, like people coming up going, "Hey, let's connect these solutions." You know, it's interoperability, whatever you want to call it. But that part's pretty cool because,
well, you just
again,
said the key words, solutions. Yeah. I mean, the industry, the exhibitors that are here, everybody's in the solutions business. What's your problem or your challenge? Let me figure out how to engineer around it or use technology to deploy through it. And that just makes us look, we're looking at right now at the robot out there, just cruising around.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Kim Boss.
It's amazing. And this is James's world. Oh. He loves technology.
I'm a nerd.
He embraces it.
I'm very passionate about how nerdy I am.
You could be a tech nerd. That's all right.
Well,
need more of them.
You know what's interesting? We're a micro example of our industry. I'm a 25 plus year veteran of the industry, utilities, you know, pipes and such like that. James is extremely technical, but when we get together, it's those ideas that we come together
on. It's perspective, right?
It's perspective. And we're a micro example of what's happening all the time out here. And I'll tell you, the beautiful thing is the trust and respect that we have in our industry, where somebody like James could say to me, "Hey, have you ever thought about doing it this way?" And I'm like, "I really haven't. Maybe I could." I also see those out there where other organizations are saying to another organization, "Have you ever thought about this?" Not in a bad way, but in an uplifting way.
Right.
Like, "Have you ever considered this?" And people are like, That's a great idea.
It's got to work.
It's unbelievable to see that type of walls being torn down and the betterment of our industry being blossomed. So
well,
you,
they
you
wanna,
provide that environment.
Well, that's a platform that we're proud to be able to offer, but it's industry coming together, best practices, sharing whether it's a great story or a challenge and how they overcame it. I mean, let's be honest, we're not all perfect.
Right, sure.
And providing that opportunity to share how they solved for challenges. And, you know, I look at the amount of sessions we have just from 2 years ago to this year on AI.
Oh, yeah.
And deploying AI through not just the operation of the system, but being able to use AI as predictive analytics.
Yes.
To make our systems even safer, even more efficient. It's incredible.
So, Karen, earlier we were talking about the vision for this event, right? And we joked, Jimmy said, you know, this thing's been in the works for years.
Yeah.
And you laughed. I know that there's so much that goes into this, and it's not a 1-2 year commitment. I know this one's been on the books for a long time. Yeah. By proxy, we had to trust the vision of this place. You want to talk about what it's like laying out the vision of an event like this?
And you're right. It takes a long time to germinate and then to execute. And we actually, and we're so grateful to the Gaylord, not just here, but the relationship we have with the Gaylord. We signed a contract with this hotel 12 years ago before one shovel of dirt had been turned.
Wow. Amazing.
So it hadn't been built. And we had to buy into their vision, and they had to buy into ours, right? I mean, we affected in some way the size of what they have here, the offerings they have. And, you know, they bought into us, we bought into them, and here we are. And they have been terrific.
First class.
We are going to another Gaylord property 2 years from now. We'll be at the National Harbor right outside of Washington, D.C.,
yep.
Which will bring another opportunity to bring the best of technology to bear. And we might even see some different vendors because that is the home of the defense industry. So we're going to see some of those alliances, I think, emerge over the next couple of years.
That's
as
exciting.
The Department of Defense and our military become some test beds for some of our technologies.
I don't think it's too soon to really foot stomp that. The 2027 is going to be here before we know it.
That's right.
I will say this.
We picked our booth yesterday.
Yeah, Ashley and I, we went and picked our booth. But I'm encouraging folks, too. There's still plenty of time. If you haven't done it, get in there and pick your booth. Start thinking about it. Because if this show has increased as it has over every 2 years, I cannot wait for 2027 to see what that is going to unfold into. It's going to be, I'm going to say, probably pretty amazing too.
Well, thank you for signing up early. We'll take early and often anytime. We have new exhibitors, which is exciting that this is the first time they've been here. And I've been around to see almost all of them. I'll make my way over to see the rest of them before the end of the show. And they're amazed. I mean, this is the first time they see it. So it's nice to see it through, you know, the baby's eyes rather than the people that have been here over and over again.
That LineQuest Gridhawk, that's their first time here. And they were blown away. They had no idea. They're like, this is unbelievable.
I have advocated for this event so much over the past year. And I've seen folks that I invited same way as folks just like that. So it's neat to see.
It is neat to see. And we're so
grateful. To continue to grow, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
New exhibitors, new attendees, new technologies, new opportunities. I mean, it's sort of the epitome of a win-win, right?
100%.
Thank you for all that you all do for the industry.
You.
And,
you.
You know, I was just thinking of what you said about how you guys are partners. And I was thinking maybe you have to change it instead of, you know, coffee with Jim and James. Maybe it's the yin yang show.
Oh,
you know what? Let's see what 2027 brings.
Change it. Don't ever change.
Karen, we appreciate you. I do want to give you just a second because I know so many people are involved. We can't thank them all, but I know your staff, it takes a village to pull these things off. Anything you want to say to that group?
Well, first of all, we have more AGA staff here at this conference than we've ever had. So congratulations to everybody.
It's awesome.
They pulled off. It does take a village. And it's partnership with our exhibitors, with our members, with the staff, with the hotel staff. A lot of our staff have been here. You know, they come a week in advance to make sure that it's seamless for the people that are investing in the opportunity
Absolutely.
To be here.
It's a big deal.
It's a deal. I'm really proud of the staff. And they are being more involved in the committees and in the tracks. So it's an opportunity for our staff to continue and educate themselves as the pace of technology continues to accelerate and accelerate. You got to keep up, right?
Love it. Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
As always.
Thank you so much.
Hey, we'll be back. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Let's do it.
Allison, our next victim. They just keep sending this Magnolia beef.
Magnolia loves us.
They either love us or
love y'all.
Love us. Why? Like more.
Tell us more.
Because you're awesome. Because you're bringing this awareness to our industry that you don't often see, but like in a really fun, cool way.
If they don't just talk about you or me.
I think me.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Definitely James. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because
I don't know what you're doing.
I'm
just the eye candy.
I'm the dry one that hardly gives any emotion.
He's talking about me.
Oh, I would.
It's
never
my
do
voice.
That.
It's because my voice sounds like a fully packed restaurant, and it just makes people
sometimes
confused.
If it's very busy, his voice does feel match like the background noise. You're like, James, are you talking?
It's not a feature, I'll say that.
But anyways.
So what do you do?
So I am the director of GIS services specific to utilities at Magnolia River Services Incorporated.
Okay. Let me ask you a quick question because there's people out there saying GIS. Okay, what's your elevator talk on GIS for those folks that may not know what it means?
Whoa, that's a hard ask. I don't really generally do elevator talks because I'm so passionate about
I like
GIS
a good tangent.
That it takes me quite a while to get it out, but I will say I'm hoping that everybody knows GIS is geographic information, science, or services. Pretty much I got into it in a really interesting way. My background was wildlife ecology, biology. That's what my undergrad was in. I was a field researcher for the San Diego Zoo. I lived in Africa and in Peru. And when I came home from that, I had been living in the middle of the bush, no electricity, no running water. And I was trying to find my way back into this Americanized culture. And so I was actually going to go to grad school at UCLA. And then I went out to UCLA, or went to LA, and I just, massive panic attack. I'm like, I cannot go from, you know,
the
bush
jungles,
to LA.
Right,
and
to the jungle.
I ended up starting at a telecommunications company. They were doing broadband over power line. And my first day, they gave me this is old school. I'm going to date myself. But, you know, like that was when software still came in packages, you know, with the CD and you downloaded it.
Yes, yeah.
And they said, here's this thing called GIS.
That.
Figure out how to make it work for us. I'd never heard of GIS before. And so self-taught in the beginning. But as I was utilizing it and learning, I realized, oh my gosh, this is such an incredibly powerful technology. Something that can really be used across any kind of discipline or industry. But it appealed to me at that time because, you know, I was environmentalist. And so anyways, ended up going to school, got my master's and doctorate at Virginia Tech, and then I worked for the U.S. Geological Survey. So really, GIS to me is all about patterns over space and time. So your location, our boost location, and how it kind of interacts with the world and how you can see and model and engage and project and forecast.
Okay.
Gosh. So, I thought I was nerdy. And I mean that as a compliment. I just think people don't really understand. You hear the term all the time.
Right?
I
think it's mapping.
I just think it's better.
But it's like, it's linear and
that's right.
Like it's everything.
It is.
It's
yep.
Any and all information in and around an event.
And I would also think in our world, now listen, I'm a utility guy, 25 years, so we weren't joking, really. When you mentioned software in a package that I would buy at Best Buy, you know, 20 years ago, that happened. But anyways, so do you also use this too? My mind is going to Florida where I live and that there's like been a big storm and all of a sudden we used to have X amount of feet of land next to this pipeline. But now because of the hurricane, now we only have
erosion.
Is that also the things that you're talking about tracking too?
Oh, you can absolutely do that. And actually, you can use various different data sources. So whether it's topographic data, it's soil data, substrate data, and you can model it based on different variables to kind of determine, okay, based on what we've seen historically in the kind of erosion that we know how powerful this particular event was, where the water came in, and then you can
forecast and model,
okay, this would be the impact if something else were to
happen.
That's
huge.
Interesting.
How important is GIS, you know, of a cog in what Magnolia provides?
So I would say at Magnolia, and definitely for the utility industry, and not just, you know, I say utility on my side because we have a midstream group as well. Right. And the utility side is focused more on the distribution kind of transmission. But
One thing that I find to be one of the most important aspects of utilizing GIS in the utility industry is safety. So it's safety and compliance, basically understanding where your assets are. Whether they're above ground, you can visually see them. But if they're below ground, you can't. If you need to build new systems, if you need to go maintain or perform maintenance on systems, you now have an understanding of where those facilities are underground, and you can safely dig to reach them. And safety is all about, you know, what's important. Sure.
Safety is number one, and I absolutely agree with that. And damage prevention is number one and all those components of it. So let me ask you this question. I'm asking this from a naive standpoint. So when we're putting in a new system now and we're somehow capturing that in GIS, that's pretty self-explanatory because it's new, it's going in, it's going from here over to booth 2012. What about the older systems, so that are in place? How do you capture that information and get it into your system?
So that's actually a fantastic question. And that's a lot of what our clients are dealing with right now. So one of the things that I'm really passionate about is moving clients from these kind of legacy software workflow processes into a more modernized approach. So really moving away from paper and going digital. That can be challenging because it's resource intensive. A lot of times our clients don't have that resource in order to do that. But one of the ways that you start historically, I mean, we know for a very long time, if you guys have ever seen an as-built is representative of how your system went into the ground. You know, initially there's all the design and planning, which Magnolia does do because we have an engineering group. Mm-hmm. We also have an inspection team. So the engineer initially designs, but they're kind of flying blind, you know, when they do that. And then in the end, as constructed, that is what you get as your as-built. So we will go and we'll do document research. We'll pull these as-builts. We'll actually digitize the as-builts into their GIS system, depending on how thorough the as-builts are, because there's a kind of a lack of standardization on as-builts right now. But you can see, I mean, top down, everything that's going on underground. And so that's really a step. You can also do locates. So you can go out and locate your system if a tracer wire was put on there. And we can do GPS collection. So we go out, we GPS all of the visible assets. So if you're a water system, wow. Let's say, well, we're gassers, so we'll talk about gas, but you would do all of your meters, you would do anything, valves, anything that you can actually see. And then you can use ancillary information like the as-builts or work orders, even aerial imagery to then draw in the system. And there's different levels of accuracy depending on the approach that you take. But that's one
way. I'm probably going to say it wrong. Is it virtual twin or digital twin?
The digital twin.
Is that kind of what you're saying? Like you're almost building that?
Yes. And I mean, sometimes people like to think a digital twin is something much more kind of robust and technical than, you know, this particular aspect. But if you look at it from its base level, yes. I mean, it is, it is a digital twin.
Next, we're going to get into data lakes. And I'm just kidding. We're not today. Not cool.
To actually accelerate the, because GIS isn't really in my world. It hasn't been, but it can be, and it should be as far as my repertoire, helping spread that word to other folks that might have the same questions I do. Because I'm going to be honest with you, as you said at the beginning, a lot of people that think GIS, electronic mapping. I'm very concerned with assets in the ground. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned, especially with geo incidences where, again, ground moves, ground changes. That is very much of interest to me because based on where I've lived and where I've served and stuff like that along the Gulf Coast in Florida, that's a real life thing. So thank you for educating me today a little bit.
No, I'm excited. I'm happy to be on. It's an honor for sure. To kind of geek out about GIS. And I mean, our company, the one thing that I think really makes Magnolia River stand out is that we do have this engineering department, our inspection team and our GIS team. And then also we have a technology division called GeoCurrent. And so they develop a lot of proprietary software that helps with compliance and regulatory needs. And it really gives us the ability to provide full turnkey services from design planning to our inspectors being in the field and doing the collection. Our GIS team, you know, on that back end, field to office workloads are a pretty big topic in, you know, the utility industry.
Yep.
And I think GIS doesn't get as much leverage or like love as it should, because
you're hearing this first
investment, you know, return on your investment is enormous with actually like robust GIS that has good, clean data, accurate data. And Yeah.
Garbage in, garbage out.
That's right.
Allison,
and
thank
Matt
you
Kelly,
so
I can
much.
Help you with it.
That's well, right.
So.
You have educated me, and as a result, I know you've educated a lot of folks on it.
I have said,
seriously, that's what we're here for, to learn and share. So thank
all right.
you.
Hey, we're going to get back to it. We'll be back. Joe, for those that don't know you, do us a favor. Introduce yourself to the people back home and who you're with.
Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Forline. I'm the Senior Vice President of Gas Operations for Pacific Gas and Electric Company.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yeah. Is that also PG&E?
PG&E, yeah,
okay.
Based in
we got
Northern
it.
And Central California. We're one of the largest combination utilities in the country.
You are, absolutely. Yep.
And how long have you been in the industry, Joe?
This is my 40th year working for a combination utility. I worked for 36 years at Public Service Electric and Gas of New Jersey.
Gotcha.
In a variety of roles, and I'm about 4 years into my position at Pacific Gas, PG&E. Yeah.
So you being in the industry as long as you have, we always ask people, like, what was your first job in the industry, Joe?
Well, my first job was as an engineer in a distribution yard or district. I was responsible for safety, replacing gas mains, making sure that the crews did a good job of responding to emergencies. Same thing I do today.
Yeah. Just at a bigger scale, right?
At a bigger scale. Yeah. Let me lean in a little bit. Again, I've been in the industry not that long, 25 years, and you've been a little bit longer than me. I want to ask you a question. Where has the industry gone from when you began to where it is now? Or what sticks out in your mind as some of the best things that you have seen? Or, you know, where are you glad that things have moved to?
Well, I think if I stick on the gas theme just to start, just a tremendous amount of progress on the commitment to safety.
Yeah.
Both for customers, for employees, and for pipeline safety. And, you know, the San Bruno pipeline incident in 2010 kind of transformed the industry.
Sure did.
And we're coming up on 15 year anniversary. And that changed the pipeline regulations and safety requirements across the entire industry. I've been able to participate in that improvement at two companies.
All right. Joe, we were talking last night and talking about AGA, you know, being here at the ops conference. And how long have you been involved with AGA?
Well, I think I went to my first AGA conference maybe 2 or 3 years into my career.
Really?
My division manager invited the young engineers. We had a policy at PSE&G where you might get invited every 3 or 4 years. It was like a treat.
Sure.
Many of us had never even traveled before. We get to go to a new city and stay in a hotel.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And
my wife, you would join me on some of those earlier trips. I have one in Seattle.
You
know, stands out to me, probably 1990. To me, it's like Christmas morning when you come on the floor and you see all the vendors, all the equipment, all the different construction equipment, technology,
so much
gas
cool
testers.
Stuff.
I love coming to the AGA conference and then the papers. You know, we have a contest to submit the best paper and then whoever wins gets to go to AGA present. Usually I get about, it's my fifth year at PG&E at AGA and we have about 30 people that usually come and we get
That's
papers
really
submitted.
Cool.
And then whichever ones AGA accepts, those people get to go and present at the conference. And
that's a great way to do
that.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Which y'all raked it in at the awards banquet, the kickoff. I know.
Yeah.
What, y'all won 4 awards? Or
we won
Johnny
4 awards.
And Brandon were speaking yesterday, and I think the day before. Y'all are doing great things.
Yeah. Well, we have a great grassroots team at PG&E. We have great support from our union leaders, Johnny Harrington, Brandon Cole. They are two of our grassroots team members that have just flourished in my time at PG&E and the type of stuff they're getting into.
It really is a neat story. Watch them. You know, we were out at the Old Fort Service Center interviewing y'all's teams and seeing it firsthand. You know, it seems so simple. And how does it make sense that a guy with a camera, you know, is a part of that safety team, a part of that? He's changed the way y'all look at things.
It's awesome. It's between the video that we won for is a video on our emergency drills with a simulated gas damage that we put out on 811. But it's representative of the great work we've done across the company in emergency drills. We've done almost 100 emergency drills in the last 3 years. Each one ends with a simulated gas explosion or a fire And we're training employees, firefighters, first responders,
yep,
how to respond to a gas emergency. We've got all kinds of positive feedback for that from a variety, you know, from our employees and from the firefighters across the state of California.
You know, your mindset too of this cross collaboration with other first responders in the industry is wonderful, because so many times in the world, anywhere, people can be in silos and they're very much concentrated on their own world. But when it can go outside of that, that idea of that cross collaboration is absolutely something that.
One thing I like about PG&E is that y'all do share those stories, and, yeah, and it's about raising the bar in the entire industry. And so coming to events like this and other events and seeing it firsthand and seeing other groups learning along with us, right? Learning that don't have the budgets and don't have the resources to provide some of that training that y'all have always been partners with the industry and, or have been recently, at least from what I can tell, in raising the industry's bar.
Yeah. And the leak reward award that we received yesterday was really embodies the work since Ambruto at PG&E. We had two industry leading vendors that are very prominent here, Picaro and Heath.
Yep.
Our leaks are going down. We're looking for more sensitive leaks. This gentleman, Eric Kurtz, who was our process leader, he has a passion for process improvement, and he has not only improved our leak rates and leak response, but also has reduced the cost of that process every single year for a decade.
Huge. And that's wonderful.
One of my coworkers, this guy named Will Carey, won that Milton Heath Award.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, he won it like it's when he retired. So yeah. I've had a chance to work with great leak investigators on both coasts. So it's pretty cool to come back to Eric's win yesterday.
Well, I'm just going to challenge us, for people like you, me, not the young people like James. Oh. Let's keep imparting that and sharing that knowledge that we have in the heads to the next generations and other people. Well, let's just keep it flowing. So anytime that you can speak, I'll be in the audience here trying to learn from you. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate the time today.
Absolutely.
I know you're a busy man. I appreciate you spending time with us this morning. Yeah. It means a lot.
Well, I love what you guys are doing, and it's great when you bring some personality and social interest to the gas industry.
Sometimes. So we try to lighten it up.
Is that what you call him?
Yeah.
Yeah. He is social interesting. All right. Hey, we'll be back.
Okay. Thanks.
We have live mics. Oh, live mics. You know what that means?
That means, because we're at the opening preview luncheon, which is a bevy of 3,000 people running around.
Yeah, 3,200 people is the last number we heard, and that number will jump tomorrow with the Wednesday customer day as well.
Day, yeah,
so we should see some more folks out here. It is kicking off the hall, so a lot of people are getting their first taste of it. And we're back here in the beer garden. Doug, how do you say your last name? Somm?
Yep.
Somm? Doug Somm. You've probably heard the name before from Zvac. We've been chasing him all over the earth, it seems like, the last few years, trying to get him on the show, and he couldn't run any faster.
We trapped him
with a beer garden.
There's no beer now. It's during lunch.
Funny. I mean, you know. So good. Doug, for those that don't know you, no, you do us a favor, introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, I'm Doug Somm. I'm with Zvac, the original founder. Yeah, it's really great to be here. It feels like AGA this year is back to full strength.
I think that was
kind of the COVID dip and then a rebuild, and now we're fully back.
Well, I'll tell you, you have a real unique perspective today, looking at it all from inside the fish tank, as we like to call it.
It's cool being in here because it kind of buffers us from all the noises and everything, but we get to see everybody. Again, that's really fun. Keep us on track, though. Last couple of years, you know, being a recovering utility guy for 25 years, hearing about cross compression, where a lot of people are saying, what's cross compression? And I'm like, well, when you're going to take a pipe and take it out of service, instead of letting the natural gas just go out to the atmosphere, you could take it out and strategically put it in. That's what you guys do. That's where your bread and butter is, and that's where you kind of built. But please expand on
that. That is where we are today. It's not where we started. We got pulled into it really more from a liquids handling perspective, where you actually have a lot of liquids loading in some gas systems, and people were having problems with venting as part of maintenance tasks, but you'd get all this liquid that came out at the same time. So we came to the table and they said, you know, we have a hard problem, and we said, we're not afraid of hard problems. The Zvac came to life in that light, and that was just right before methane became a thing, you know, in this industry.
Yeah, yeah.
It became a buzzword.
Then we really got pulled in by the utilities who found all these operational reasons. You know, we always get invited to the table for the emissions stuff, and then you sit in front of ops and you're like, what if you didn't have to blow gas inside a hole while you're in the valve vault? You don't have to release odor downtown or light a flare next to a school.
Yeah.
And operations really pulls it. We get to the table with the emissions people, but ops then takes it over and eats it up. So
it's cool. Well, we're sitting here, we mentioned it earlier, 3 football fields of innovation. And I know you guys have been all the buzz in the industry when it comes to innovation. What has been, has there been any ahas this year, anything in y'all's space that you're excited about?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we're seeing is like an aha is the difference from basic awareness to now, like how would we do this at any kind of scale? Mm. Instead of just a pilot or like, let's try it on this one project, it's like, wait a second, if I had to do this 1,100 times this year as part of my main replacement process, how would I do it then? Right. And you're seeing a lot more sophisticated thinking when they start to plan scale, where the last 5 to 10 years, there's a lot of pilots and only a little bit of scaling up. And now we're feeling that scale up happening.
So let me ask you a quick question on the project management side. Are you finding more and more folks are now comfortable, aware, and using it and then planning it? We have this project going on in Main Street, USA in July. Let's make sure we have a ZVAC unit there because this is going to need it. You know, are they doing it that strategically, let's just say?
Yeah, and I would say different operators have different journeys. Some are very comfortable in the let's hire a contractor.
Sure.
Right? And others will say, it's live gas, it's our safety, we want our people to know how to do this. And then it becomes a let's train them, let's get them OQ'd, let's go through an onboarding type process for the ZVAC equipment, but also just the concept of not doing blowdowns.
It's going to be cool as a founder, you know, to be at a stage of adoption, right? To where you're dealing with new problems, but it's got to be neat to look back at that, you know, that garage moment, you know, to now look at it and go, we're talking about, you know, being, I joked about it earlier, being the Kleenex of cross compression, you know, like, but it's the truth.
It is fun and nostalgic in moments, but when I see our old equipment, I'm sort of like, oh.
Cringy.
It's a little cringy.
It's cringe tech.
But you know what, though? That's so cool in my positive way, I'm thinking, look how far you've come from where you've been. You know, we can't just say, it's gold. I can't believe we did it that way. Sure. That was the best that we could do at the time, and then we did the best here and the best here. And you guys are always evolving, and that's exciting. You're global now.
That's
from
right.
From what I understand.
Yeah, we've got partners
Australia?
Across the world, Australia, New Zealand.
Yeah.
And it turns out they operate their gas system pretty differently than us. They have long distance, small diameter pipe that operates at like CNG pressure, really high pressure, smaller pipe.
Interesting.
Long runs. It's kind of neat to learn about, and we've started doing some over in the UK and Europe, and they've got a whole different animal in terms of regulations and things
so
like that.
Interesting.
So a lot of learning for us.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Doug, I'm glad we were able to sync up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, after all this.
It's been really nice. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. We'll be back. Dale, we've been chasing you around the country. Right. You don't know it,
I have ran for quite some time.
You did. Yeah. You're sneaky.
Well, you were pretty good at it. I'm old friends with Kevin Miller, and even Kevin's like, I just track him down. You know, he'll be fine. You'll get him. So
I have to work for Laura.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
Laura will get it done, though.
She makes it happen.
She does. She makes it happen.
One of our rock stars.
There's a few people out there, I'm sure, who don't know you. Do us a favor. Just introduce yourself, who you're with.
Sure. Dale Anderson with Miller Pipeline and OMS.
It's great for you to be here.
Yeah. Appreciate the opportunity.
How long have you been in our industry, Dale?
You're going to age me now. This will be my 39th year.
So it's a great industry. We've seen a lot in those years, haven't we?
Yeah, and I've been running from you guys for almost that long.
Yeah, about that long, yeah. So I know you have a unique story. I'd love to hear kind of your origin story in the business, how you got it going, and how you end up in a seat like this.
I actually just started out. Our next door neighbor, when I was a small kid growing up on a farm, was a pipeline welder. So every Monday morning, we'd see him leave with his welding rig in his suitcase. And we thought that'd be a pretty cool
thing. Where'd you grow up?
Northern Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. Okay, here.
So yeah, after, you know, there were five boys in my family and four boys in their family, so we all played sports together. And when his dad took off welding, we thought it was pretty cool to get in the pipeline. So that's kind of how it started, getting off the farm and getting into the business. So
it's awesome. And then now, you know, we know Miller well. We've done work with you guys for years and years. Now to stand with this group and look at what it is these days and what all y'all are into, what's that feeling like?
You know, when you're in the middle of it, you don't think about it as much, but it's pretty impressive when you look back. I think when I started here, we were doing about $200 million in sales, and now we're going to eclipse that $1.5 billion. So it's a
wow.
It's a pretty cool thing to be part of that. And but you mentioned Kevin Miller's name. He's a big mentor of mine. I just look at things that they did to grow this company, and you know, they gave me a pretty pat hand, I think, when I came in here, so I'm pretty excited about that.
That's what I was going to say. You've had some awesome folks around you. It's got to have influence how you lead people as well.
It is. People are what matters. So without them, we have nothing. So equipment's cool, but we need people. So.
Yeah, when you have a culture like Miller Pipeline has, I mean, that's infectious in a wonderful way that spreads.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We think a lot of that too, the core values we have and the culture we've developed with the employees, and try to communicate as often as you can and let them know what's going on, keep them posted, highs and lows. So everybody's on the same page.
And and when I talk to Miller Pipeline folks, especially right-of-ways, some of the common words that I've heard are we're supported, you know, meaning that leadership supports us and helps us. And sometimes in the industry, you might hear the opposite, but on the Miller folks, they're always talking about how we're being supported. So
I'm glad to hear that too, Bill.
Yep.
You were talking about the people first mindset, right? So how do we, so now being a leader, right, growing amongst that, around that, how do we turn around and do the same to the next ones coming behind us?
It's a constant change. I mean, everybody learns differently, and we learn that pretty quick. You treat everybody with respect. That gets them through the door, and then you can't leave them sit. You got to keep talking, communicate. And our team on the comms side does a great job of that. They're constantly really talking about the industry, constantly talking about opportunities. That was a big deal for us, too, onboarding people the right way. You want the right people in, but you got to onboard them the right way. So, and that was a big deal too. If they don't know what they're in for, it makes a tough journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Nope.
You're absolutely right. It's good. People, you know, we're here at AGA, at the Ops Conference. Tons of people.
Yes.
I think over 3,200 people here.
Usually, there may be even more to do with the customer days. So,
how long have y'all been involved with AGA?
Since I've been around, so 17 years with Miller, so well before that. I mean, it's just a great group, and it started out small, and it's grown to what it is today. It's unbelievable. You could do this every year instead of every 2 years.
Really? They'd get away with it.
I agree with you.
But I do like the buildup. I was talking to somebody about it, and that buildup's nice, but you could get away with it being every year, for sure.
You could.
It's a great opportunity. We don't get a chance to have this many customers in one spot at the same time. So whether we get them to have dinner or just stop by the booth and have a conversation, it's one of a kind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dale, and I know you're busy. You got a lot to do,
appreciate
brother.
Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for taking the time.
I won't hound you anymore.
Yeah, I don't believe
not
it.
Not until next time.
Yeah.
We appreciate you, brother. Hey, we'll be back.
Take care.
Sean, welcome to the podcast, sir.
Thank you.
I know. Like, you've been on how many times? Several?
About three times. Yeah. About my third time.
We keep inviting you back.
I know. It's like a penny. It just keeps going back.
You must like me. I'm just glad you're
here. We do like
y'all. Y'all have me on here.
We do. You're a wealth of information, and there are many things that we talk about we're going to share. Please go ahead and introduce yourself for those that the three people out there that don't know you.
All right. So I'm Sean Haley. I'm co-founder of LionQuest and the chief strategy officer now for GridHawk Holdings, which oversees LionQuest and GridHawk. So since the merger in 2022, we're doing big things and glad to be a part of this.
Yeah. We're live at AGA Ops 2025, for those that don't know. And I'm staring at the LionQuest GridHawk booth right now. And I learned this is y'all's first AGA?
It is, yeah. And we've been doing a lot of other shows, but
what do you think of this one?
First, man, it's big.
Yeah. It's huge, isn't it?
A lot of new people, a lot of people that are outside of the normal that we see at the conferences. So they're all here. If you haven't been and you're listening, you got to be here next year. It's a good show.
Here's when 2 years. So the exhibit hall is every 2 years. So it's in 2027, Renaissance in Washington, D.C. is the next one.
We'll be there.
It's big. A lot of innovation, a lot of things happening here. But we were fellowshipping earlier, And you mentioned, you were telling us a little bit about your origin story and how you got started. And really, you said a passion for damage prevention. Yeah. We want to hear it. We're a big origin story people. We think it really shines a light on sometimes positions, places we don't ever think of. Our hope is that it inspires somebody else to come out and get involved as well. Yeah. So tell us your origin story, Sean.
Yeah, so, I mean, it goes way back. So my granddad was, he was a geologist, oil field. So that's an introduction to the oil field. Dad was a pipeline patrol pilot.
And
he patrolled the pipelines for leaks and things like that. And so he actually passed away when I was 8. He was 29. And it was in a work-related incident that could have been prevented. I won't get it too much into that, but it could have been prevented. And growing up, it was like, I wanted to be in the oil field like granddad and dad, you know. But then I really thought, man, I really want to prevent damage. Sure. But decided I wanted to be a pipeline patrol pilot. And so when it was my turn to just get into a career, I was really looking toward being a pipeline patrol pilot. And then, as you know, drones have really taken off and some different things, which we do a little bit of that as well.
So, okay.
But, you know, the opportunity to be a pipeline patrol pilot wasn't as much as it was back in the 80s and 90s when he was doing it. And so it didn't really, I felt like maybe that wasn't the best route, but the closest thing to it, line locating, right? Get out there and you're locating. We find lines, we do leak detection, we do all the fun things. But really the passion, so when you talk about passion, to really understand Sean Haley is to understand really where I came from and to understand that, you know, I do this for a real purpose. You know, obviously everybody, they in what they do, they wouldn't be doing it for free. So there's no secret there. You got to make money in what you're doing. But really, I wake up every day thinking about how can I prevent damages? How can I minimize the risk of line strikes? How can I raise the on-time percentage? And that's something we're really, really proud of. And I think LineQuest has built a great name and partnering with GridHawk, doing the same thing. So LineQuest, GridHawk, and, you know, any other companies in the future that we join hands with, you can bet we're all about quality.
Yeah, and you guys are known for that in the marketplace. Anytime I mention one of your company names to somebody, they're like, oh yeah, quality folks. We work with them here, or we work with them there. You know, and I think you guys are in now over 20 states. Is that correct?
We are, yeah. Over 20 states. So
huge.
Over 2,000 employees in 20 states and making a difference. I mean, that's really what we're about is how can we continue to make a difference?
Yeah.
You know, not the biggest, but simply the best. You know, that's what we're about.
Oh, all right.
It's all about.
I sang that in my head.
You know, yeah.
That's good, though. That's great.
I'm just kidding. There's a lot of great locating companies out there.
Yeah. Sean, I don't know if you've thought about it or maybe you are involved, but this being your first AGA and how much y'all are involved at CGA is getting involved here in the committees.
Yeah.
You know, damage prevention committee, quality management, some of those groups. I mean, I would urge you to get involved. There's so much awesome work that goes on right here in this room, you know, in the back rooms behind the curtain. But it's a great way to make relationships, and I would urge y'all to check that part out, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you guys back home, too. Yeah. You can be here with us.
Like I sit on supplemental gas, so not only do we meet a couple times a year in person, but we also have virtual meetings. So it's continually sharing and the spreading of information.
Yeah. Like a lot of the folks that end up being there are folks that just got it built into them, right? And it's more, it's volunteer, it's what we do.
Right? I love getting involved in stuff, so I'm glad you said that. Yeah. I mean, NOLCA on that board.
Absolutely.
Been the vice president of the Damage Prevention Council in North Texas, so I'm always looking for the next thing. So
getting involved. Don't quote me on this, but I have it on tape somewhere, but I want to say there's 37 committees.
Wow.
AGA.
Wow.
So really, when I say there's something for everyone, there is something for everyone.
You'll find a great
whatever you're into.
As much as you yield, you'll get back three times as much to people. Just share that information. It's a wonderful environment.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor.
Oh.
Is it true? This is breaking news that you might be on TV.
That's true. Yeah.
Is this true?
It's true. Yeah.
On purpose. Yeah.
So there's a TV show that I'm involved in. I can't tell you a whole lot about it, but Landman, you know, a lot of people have seen Landman
Heard about it.
Landman season 2 is going to come out in November. So look for episodes 3 and 5, and I'll be making an appearance in those.
Woo! Do we know right now, are you wearing a white hat or a black hat? Are you the good guy or the bad guy?
So I'll be wearing a cowboy hat.
Okay.
Wearing a cowboy hat, but not a big role, so, you know, not a big speaking role, but you'll see me in Landman. Okay. So stay tuned.
Sean, man, I appreciate
you. Yeah, thank you, brother, for stopping.
I love y'all's show. I really do. And you know, I always watch it, and I really appreciate the content and the exposure that you've given to the Denver Ferencia industry.
Absolutely. That's what drives us, and we thrive off of. So yeah. Those words.
And it's $40. You owe us $40.
Great job, brother. This is great. We had Sean Haley on today, who is one of the founders of LineQuest, but actually we have now the ability to meet with Paul, who is actually CEO over Gridhawk Holdings.
That is correct.
And Paul, I don't want to do any injustice, so I'll let you introduce yourself and tell a little bit about Gridhawk Holdings. How does that sound at this point?
That's fair.
I think that sounds good. So glad to be here today.
Thank you for joining us.
I actually just got in about an hour ago.
Right under the fire.
So when we did the LineQuest acquisition, you know, we kind of kept the companies fairly separate. And about a year into it, we realized that, you know, we both are doing a lot of the same things, the dam prevention, utility services, those kind of things. So we realized that as a bigger organization, because we were continuing to grow really fast, so we realized that we had to build a better support structure to support both those brands.
That's sure.
Smart. So we decided to create Gridhawk Holdings, which is basically, you know, the hub that's supporting both brands, Gridhawk and LineQuest.
You know what I love about you, Paul? And we know each other from the industry, yep. And, you know, we became, well, I'll say, friends in the industry. But the things that you say are always servant leadership type of, and it's who you are as a person. I've observed this.
Okay.
Where Gridhawk Holdings helps support.
Yeah.
You don't oversee it all. It's more of how can you let LineQuest and Gridhawk flourish. So that's something I just noticed.
Yeah, we definitely want to take the best of both companies and be able to allow those companies to grow and flourish, let the employees grow and flourish. How we can do it from a holdings level to support those brands grow is kind of what we do.
Love it.
It's huge. Paul, we're at AGA Ops 2025.
Yep.
Right here in Aurora, Colorado. You guys have been involved. I know LineQuest is new here, but y'all have been here before, correct?
Yeah, we were at the show back in Dallas 2 years ago.
Oh, you're great.
Yeah, we were there. But this is our first show together as a combined group. So
it's a group. It's a group project.
Yep.
AGA. It's a huge hall. Huge hall this time.
3 football fields.
Yes, it is huge.
3,200 people. And I think all of them have been back here to the beer garden.
Well, we slept
at least once. Yeah. That's good. So good. What was that?
I don't know.
It's extra credit.
I think it was.
Well, there's a lot of work. I mentioned it to Sean earlier, but there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes in the weeks, earlier in the week with the committee meetings. So I think I'm probably saying it wrong, but I think there's 30 plus committees at AGA. Are you guys involved in any or about getting them?
Yeah, we're definitely thinking about it. You know, as we continue to grow and become a bigger force in the industry, you know, it's kind of our duty to participate in those. We're definitely getting involved with those.
I would recommend that. It's a great group here. No matter which one you jump into, there's something for everybody. But man, it's some of the best part of being a part of AGA is the committees.
Yep, I would concur with that, because really, it is truly a knowledge sharing events where a lot of the silos come down and people, again, they don't talk about necessarily anything proprietary to themselves, but they talk about things that are pertinent to the industry and pertinent to the, you know, constituents that we serve and such like that. So it's really great involvement where as much as we give, threefold come back to everybody. Mm-hmm. So I got to ask you one question, sure, though, because somebody else asked me today about you. You know, again, you're CEO of Gridhawk Holdings. You have a lot of responsibility and such like that. But where did you begin in this industry?
Well, I started at the front lines. I started doing locates back in 1996.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Okay.
Because, just fell in love with the business, fell in love with being the one that the excavators love to see show up on a job site.
And one thing, Paul, I want to ask you, because this actually came up earlier today, that people really like to know, like, where people began. Because, again, they see a CEO of Gridhawk Holdings, they're like, wow, is this, you know, out of Harvard or Cambridge or, you know, people want to know where your beginnings were. So,
you know, I started out in the field as a technician doing locates in 1996.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah, I just fell in love with the business, you know, really got satisfaction of being the person that showed up that the excavators would love to see, right? There was just a level of responsibility that came with that. It just always made me feel good when I'd show up and they'd say, well, we're glad you're here, right? So.
Let me ask you a question. Did any of them ever call you directly to do that? Or
yeah, there was quite a few. That's quite a few opportunities like that.
Well, because we were up in Detroit with on a project on a right of way, we were talking to somebody that almost had the same type of thing where people would ask for him by name. They developed that relationship like you did.
Yeah, it's a relationship and a trust. They build that they're relying on you. So they feel comfortable with the work that you're doing, and you know when they do that, it makes you feel good.
That's awesome. That's
just picture him and Sean just like high-fiving each other all the time. Like, I mean, that what great stories to be rooted in, you know?
Well,
like, you know what I mean? Like, culturally, it's a good thing to.
I agree. I think the legacy story is fantastic because you're right. Yeah. I mean, that's what people really want to know.
Get fired up.
You know, I mean, talk about servant leadership, as I mentioned before, when you've actually been on the right of way or been on the site and you're actually. You know, putting flags down and marking ground, you know what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Well, that was
appreciate you. Yeah. Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you again.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you for taking the time. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks for all the work you do. In our industry.
Keeping us safe.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, we'll be back. I'm so excited about this. I don't know if you know, and I don't know if you know, Sue, but you're on my list of people I wanted to get on the show. Like, I have a list. And you're on it.
I know it was the gas is good comment. That's when I got you.
We're good. I have loved watching you speak. You know, you're like, oh, I'm not a speaker. You're a great speaker. You're passionate. And the minute I heard you speak, I was like, I want to know that person. And I went up and I introduced myself and I've known her ever since. So,
well, for the same reason, you guys are in industry. I love it. You're talking to our people. You are getting it out there. Like, that's the important piece. It's backing up what they do for a living, you know?
Got this as the whole point, all right?
Yeah.
But
just doing awesome stuff.
But, I mean, your whole thing on safety as well, like all your memes on safety, I love those because it's like, think about it. It's the number one thing. We want you going to work and coming home in the same way you went.
Amen. Okay. Amen. And if we could help one person do one thing, and then we've achieved, then everything that we've done is worth it, you know?
It's
hopefully we were affecting more than just one person, but I always say that one person, just
start
like
somewhere,
just like on the sober happy hour we did the other night, Monday night. I'm like, you know, if we can help one person,
that
maybe
was
deal with it.
So great.
I am still humbled by it. I mean, I have people every day. This morning in the elevator, a lady came up to me and confided in me. And again, it's very confidential, but it's just something that I appreciate her trusting me with information. And just to let people know, that means it's working, that people are looking for help.
I find it ironic, however, that you guys are in the beer car.
No, it's great. It's great being out here, 2025 AGA Ops. And I mean, bigger than ever, just massive haul. Does it make your AGA heart?
So this is, in my 5 years, this is the first time I have actually been on the floor here. And I am blown away. I usually come in and speak to committee meetings or at one of the big sessions like this morning, and then I'm usually on the road somewhere else. But this year, I said, I want to walk through, and I'm excited to see this because we talk about innovation and what our companies are leading on, and you see it in what, 4 football fields worth of floor here?
They say 3 football fields, but still, that's incredible. Yep. It'll take you 20 minutes to walk all the way around without stopping.
Oh, I know, and it's amazing. Yeah. And I'm excited to stop by, you know, a couple of people I've met before to see their, you know, I've seen them at Oklahoma Gas. Great, I can see you here with what you have.
That's awesome.
We saw each other at Oklahoma Gas. We're good friends. We go way back.
They usually don't let us sit together because, you know, it's
we're going to have it.
The comms, the people won't let us. That's for
I'm sure they wouldn't. Both of you all. You need somebody like me that's quiet, demure, and never mind. Let's keep calm.
That's right. Quiet, demure, cutesy. That's you.
So I was talking to Dan last night, and he was like, listen, you got to talk to Sue. The more he talked about it, the more excited I got because this is right up our alley, too. Yeah. Advocacy side of it.
Yes, absolutely.
This is materials I'd like in my hands.
great partnership with our field ops and customer service groups, came to us last year and said, our frontline workers are telling us they don't feel comfortable answering questions. And, you know, they're changing out of gear to go in and get a sub to get, you know, can you all put something together to really help them feel comfortable about talking it about the industry that they love? They're in the community helping.
So smart.
You know, some of the companies have programs like this, but we wanted to make sure there was something every company could have just in case. And so we've been working with the committee. We went out to the frontline workers and got more than 200 responses back on what are the most popular questions you get from customers? How do you like to learn your information so that you can use it? And so we built the program around exactly what they were looking for.
So looking at it, were you able to use a lot of the playbook stuff? Yeah. Like it's repackaging, repurposing?
But making it easy because our member company employees are super technical. They're experts.
Yeah.
But to be able to communicate that to the general public.
And quickly.
And easily is what we're trying to really help them feel comfortable doing.
That's so smart.
This is fantastic.
And I mean, they have their hands on more people than anybody.
Exactly.
It makes so much sense.
They're on the front line.
They're in their house. You're in front working on a project on their street. And so somebody comes up and asks you a question. So the front part of it is talking issues and kind of, you know, let's talk affordability, reliability, safety. The second half is really teaching them how to be a better public speaker, having confidence, you know, connecting, looking eye to eye, active listening, making sure you're understanding what the customer is looking for. Do they just want to be heard because they're frustrated? Are they looking for information? But what we're trying to do is make them comfortable providing answers and solutions, not just answers, but we have this, this, and this program you might be able to use. Here's why we're here on the street fixing. I was in your house checking your meter because, and so making them feel empowered to answer questions.
Yeah, and absolutely. And putting a lot of ownership, meaning that you own that relationship when you're toe to toe on their grass, on their front steps, and they have questions. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of people, I know family members of mine say things. I'm like, well, that's not really how natural gas works in the house, mom, but let me explain it to you. And she'll be like, I had no idea. And I'm like, well, it's okay. You know, you're not alone.
That's why we're doing it.
And I think this is wonderful. This is available to all of our members.
All AGA members. It's free. You call us. We will come out and teach 5 people, 15 people, 30 people. We've got a pamphlet that has all the frequently asked questions. It's got all the information. And I will tell you the 2 biggest questions, and this isn't going to be a surprise to you all, is cost and safety.
Yeah.
Why is my bill going up and down?
Sure.
What do I do if I smell gas? You know,
yes, yes.
These things that, again, technicalities, we don't want to say, well, that's mercaptan in the,
yeah.
We understand that. But you want to say, hey, if you smell rotten eggs, you know, or you see some of your grass dying, you didn't over-fertilize. It's something happened in there. So, you know, hey, get out and call 911. We just want to make it super simple and easy so that customer has a plan if there is a safety issue.
That's absolutely wonderful.
So we rolled it out today. We're getting feedback. We had a great session.
Today is the first day?
We rolled it out. We had about 50 or so people in our session, and they gave us great feedback. We took them through the whole thing. It's very interactive. We don't want to just be standing there, hi, this is Sue Forrester talking at you. We want you to ask us questions, understand scenarios of, hey, you had a customer come up and asks you, why did my bill go up? And practicing. And what's your 30-second elevator pitch on why I love natural gas or why do I love my job? Just so you're practiced, comfortable.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You mentioned about training these folks from 5 to 50. Is there also like computer-based training that people would say, I can't break away, but I really want to learn some of this? Is there anything online that they can take as being a member?
So we are... This is the first step. So this is, I mean, brand new first step. And so that's part of when we're going to scale. What does it look like next year? Is it an app? Is it going to be a QR code that takes you right to the page? But I'll tell you that what I love about the pamphlet, it's so easy to read, but we're also using tearproof and waterproof material. So you can fold it up, throw it in the truck, pull it out.
Oh, no.
And we are also going to have it translated into Spanish. So if you have a workforce that's primarily Spanish speaking, or you have customers, we want to make sure that we, again, are meeting people where they are. So we're excited about this program, working with the committees who got us to be able to talk to directly to do our survey with their workers, because they're the people who need the information. And if it's not what they're looking for or what they ask for, it's just going to go thud on a shelf. So their engagement has been really exciting.
That's awesome. This is one of the most exciting conversations
we've
shared.
Yeah. This is why I wanted you to come on, but you just ran away all the time.
But then she knew that I was here, so then she said,
"That's right.
Yes, I'll go on for sure."
I believe both of you got notes from me on when you were posting that you were coming out. I'm excited.
I know it takes a big staff to put this on. I know it's impressive to watch your colleagues work. I mean, you got the floor. You want to thank anybody or everybody.
Everybody. I will tell you, from the ops team, putting together the speakers. I mean, we are getting top caliber people who have in-depth knowledge and are taking our member companies through, learning something. And then to our actual meetings folks, I mean, I see something different every year. There's a new widget, there's a new gadget, there's a new something. You guys are new in a booth here permanently.
I got a new jacket.
It is something new and different every year, which is, I think, what keeps bringing people back. It's the quality of the information. It's the fun of the whole thing.
The whole experience.
Yeah, the camaraderie.
The whole experience.
You got paparazzi and everything.
I tell you.
You know, there is always something new. Yesterday, I saw Jimmy go by on a little bit of train.
I know, the train was great.
The train.
I think
I'm waving. I even did the royal wave.
Wrist, elbow, yeah. Well, so the paparazzi you're talking about is that's the team. That is my team.
They were concerned.
Yeah, the ones that said don't talk to those guys until we see the question.
No. That's Kara Reba and Carolyn Simone. Are a good match as a team. And so it was fun to have them out here. This is both of their first ops conferences. I feel like that's going to be a annual happening for them.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is the experience.
It's the whole thing, soup.
Can I drop one more piece on?
The mic, please.
So we are doing some assault prevention work.
Tell us more.
We are setting up, we're doing a series of webinars with our member companies to talk about preventing worker assaults. Yes. And so we have some companies that have great programs, but what we want to start doing is collecting data, figuring out, is there a legend we can run? What coalition partners do we need? Can we get the sheriffs? Can we start talking to the DAs? Can we make sure that our folks who are out in the community are protected and have resources if something happens? We had more than 700 people on our first phone call. So
it's a real
issue. And we
were around zero.
I don't know if you knew. We went out to Oakland.
Went to PG&E?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
This past year, we went to the Oakport Service Center. We interviewed about 20 workers that...
Oh my gosh.
Johnny and all of them were there, and we got to interview people that it was happening to every day.
I brought that up in my presentation this morning, and to watch the nodding heads of people who are like, yes, we need this.
Yep.
So let me make a pitch. If we're asking you for data, we need your data to be able to really build out effective messaging on the programs that we're trying to put together. So send us your data. It is a multifunctional group. So we've got operations in there. Our comms department is in there. You have the advocacy group. I mean, our state affairs team is together.
All the stakeholders.
Right. It is a full-on enterprise-wide program that everybody needs to take a look at. And if you don't have a program, please join our next call to understand what's really going on.
Love it.
That's a call to action right there.
Love it. We'll leave it on that, Sue. We're winding down here at one of the largest American Gas Association events of all time.
3,200 attendees, not including all the
welcome
visitors today.
To
yeah, the welcome folks today.
My dogs are barking.
The dogs are barking.
We've averaged probably 6 miles, not joking, of walking a day. And I personally have not left the property.
No. Oh, you haven't?
No.
Wow.
Wow.
No.
I was going to agree.
To go outside every once in a while. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. But unbelievable conference, unbelievable committee meetings, and we still have, some more educational sessions going on. But the exhibition has been phenomenal as I just look out over the still masses of people.
Yep. We had some pretty awesome guests this year.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I checked a lot of things off my list of folks that I've been chasing around. We went back-to-back from Sue Forrester to Dale Anderson.
Dale Anderson from Miller Pipeline, Sue Forrester.
Come on. Kidding?
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
It was fantastic.
We got to spend time with some of our vendor friends today, be bopping around the hall. I mean, it's good times. We've got a special event tonight. It's just the party keeps going.
It is nonstop. These are long days, but they're very fulfilling. And, you know, people ask a lot of times, you know, is it worth it to go to conferences? And I tell them, well, how else would you have face-to-face conversations with, and I'm not being facetious, 200 people?
Yeah, 400 people, yeah.
Yeah, I'm being light at 200. But, you know, how long would that take you to do other than being at a centralized location like this? You know, again, from PG&E to SJI, South Jersey Industries, to
Atmos,
CenterPoint,
UGI,
TECO.
All of them.
Yep.
I mean, even in my home state, I've talked to TECO folks here. It's been tremendous.
I have to give a good shout out. I have to give a plug because last night at the welcome reception, the Hat Press booth was popping.
Great idea, Ashley.
It was a good one.
Ashley, great idea.
I will say the marketing team and our designers back home crushed it for sure.
People are still talking about it.
Yeah, we won the day yesterday. I mean, unofficially.
I'm going to say,
We had a crowd. And it was a vibe. It was, you know, we always just build an experience. And we got lucky and did it again. It was
ran out of hats. And we sent more than we thought we needed.
That's all we did.
Yeah,
coming from your favorite hat and podcast company, EWA. Just kidding. We do sell OQ. So let us know. It's been great. One takeaway, Jimmy.
I'm going to say my biggest takeaway was partnering with the AGA for the first ever Zero Proof Reception, which I got to host on Monday night, or I should say co-host with them. It was humbling. I am celebrating 14 years of sobriety this year, which thank you for that. But I can't tell you how many people have come up to me, and it's all those conversations are private between me and those people. But if I have had less than 7 talks with people, it's probably underestimating.
That's
true. Those are people that are just looking for a person to listen and to understand where they are in their potential journey, hopefully, with sobriety.
Huh.
So that's my takeaway.
I will just say that I think the AGA has done a really good job at creating an experience here in the exhibit hall.
Yeah.
Safety is definitely forefront of their minds with the security that they have provided us here.
Yeah,
and I will say the concepts with the beer garden, the food trucks, all of it is just, and the train going around Manson. I saw Manson riding the train around the exhibit hall. It's just a lot of effort and thought went into it.
Agreed.
You can tell they're really trying to get people into areas that normally, you know, spread out to the outskirts,
big place.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get to all of it.
So they've done a really good job.
You? What's your biggest takeaway?
Yeah, so we get to spend a lot of time out on the road with a core group of people a lot, right? Like, especially as vendors, we travel around the world together.
Yep.
Right? But AGA brings like a second level of folks that don't get to go out all the time.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you get to see, I mean, especially every 2 years with the expo, is you get another group of folks that are like outside. It's like the second extension family, you know?
Understand.
And so you get to see a bunch of people that you maybe only get to see every 2 years.
Yeah.
And for folks like us that have made a living off relationships and connections, that's a big deal. It's good to be around our friends, you know, us three to be together again?
Absolutely.
I mean, we haven't got to do it this year.
Maybe the last time this year.
It might be. Who knows?
No, you're not traveling. I think we're selective.
Do we need to know something, Ashley?
Well, Jim.
Well, we wanted to have this conversation.
Hey, we appreciate the AGA. Thank you, all the staff here. Amazing. The staff here at the Gaylord.
Oh, my gosh.
Always
first class. Yep.
A service industry. Shout out to the folks here. All of them have been amazing. This awesome industry, Nat Gas, man, it's back on the menu.
We got it.
Yeah. Hey, until next time.
We'll see y'all. Y'all stay safe.